In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In letters of crimson, God wrote his love on a hillside so long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told. I love you, I love you, that's what Calvary said. Same hands that suffered and bled, giving all he had to give, a message so easily read. I love
this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 16 this morning. Luke chapter 16, we're going to read verses 19 through 31. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Luke chapter 16, as you're finding your place, if you're able to this morning, would you stand in honor of reading of the Word of God? If you're unable, please remain seated. We understand, but if you're able, bring honor to the Word of God as we read it. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this sobering yet factual passage in the Word of God. God, help it to stir our hearts today. Help us, Father, to hear the message you have for us individually and not for others. God, do a work in our hearts. Empower our pastor for this task ahead of preaching from this passage. Use him to help us. And Father, as it's been prayed already or mentioned already, if there's someone that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, as always, it is important we keep our Bibles open, our telephones off, sitting up, paying attention, listening very carefully this morning. Listen now. Jesus taught 51 parables. A parable is a truth that's drawn from an everyday circumstance or event. They're always fictional parables. This is not a parable. What Jesus just told us here in Luke chapter 16. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Two men who died on the same day. 2,000 plus years later, those two men are where Jesus said they were. Then they're still there. Parables never have proper names in them. There's two proper names in this passage of Lazarus and Abraham. So listen to me. This is not a story. This is the truth. And what Jesus talks about here is two men who had very divergent lives. One was a beggar laid outside the gate of the rich man's house and desired to be fed with the crumbs from the rich man's table. Basically, he was a dumpster diver. He was going through the garbage to find enough to eat. Sores all over his body, and the only comfort he could find was dogs that would come and lick his sores. It was outside the rich man's house, outside his gate. The rich man no doubt knew who Lazarus was, and Lazarus knew who the rich man was, because in death, where those two men wound up, they still knew each other. The rich man could look up into heaven and there was Lazarus, the beggar, in Abraham's bosom, paradise of God. And Abraham could look down into hell and see the rich man. And what Jesus was trying to do this morning is this. He was trying to give us some voices from eternity. You say, Pastor Johnson, I don't believe in eternity. I don't believe in life after death. You should, for a couple of good reasons. Number one, Jesus said there is. And that should settle it for anybody with any common sense. Look at me. Jesus said there was two men who died and they woke up in eternity. So unless you want to call him a liar, I suggest you change your thinking. Plus, the rest of the Bible teaches us that there is a life after this life. Say, well, that's not a problem. I don't accept what the Bible says. So what do you accept? Because here's the one of the most important reasons why you should believe in eternity and why you should believe in life after death. Now look at me, friend. Look at me. Because you can't afford to be wrong. Here's the deal. I don't believe in it. Doesn't make it go away. Number two, when you die and you realize that that death is a passing of a moment from this life to the next, and you get there and you were wrong, you can't change a thing about it. You just saw it. The rich man in hell said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. It may dip his finger in some water and just touch my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham's reply was, son, there is a great gulf fixed between us. We cannot go over there. You cannot go over here. That's why there's no purgatory. There's no halfway house between heaven and hell. It's heaven or it's hell. But where you are is where you are. And if you say, well, I don't believe in life after death, and if I go to hell, I'm going to party with all my friends. You'll never find anything in Jesus' preaching that ever implied that hell was a party. 14 sermons he preached. 14 times Jesus preached on hell, on life after death. 13 of them were about hell. And there's never a party there, friend. So now listen to me this morning. Let's get dialed in on some thoughts today. But there's a good and a bad in this thing that Jesus told us. And it comes from those voices in eternity. And from eternity. First of all, there's the voice of Lazarus. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I just read that. I don't see him saying anything. Well, you know what? Your situation speaks volumes. The voice of Lazarus from eternity tells us something here. As bad as this life can get, it ain't no more bad. It ain't bad over there anymore. Not in heaven. As tough as it gets right here, you're reduced to way past homeless. You're living in a garbage dump, fighting dogs for a bite to eat. They lick your sores. You die with people walking over you and leave you lying there. Life has done all it can do to you, and then you die. The voice of Lazarus from heaven tells us this. Yeah, but if you go to heaven, it ain't no suffering in heaven anymore. There's no more sorrow in heaven anymore. You're not fighting for crumbs anymore. You're not having to deal with the awfulness of this life anymore. That's why I hurt for people who say, well, I just think you just do the best you can in this life and that's all you get. Well, friend, you got a lousy heaven and you got lousy prospects this morning. Life is good and God is good to us. Yeah. And as tough as life can get at times, let me tell you something, friend. There's just something about knowing that heaven is on the other end of this life. Now, I would love to tell you we're all going to heaven. We sang the song. When we all get to heaven, it's a great song. But let's preface the concept of the hymn a moment. When all the saved get to heaven. But you know, as I read this account that Jesus gives, I think to myself, well, I don't see anywhere in here where it talks about Lazarus' salvation, where he trusted Christ and he got saved. But you know where it comes from? Let me show you. Look down in your Bibles there. When the rich man in hell and Lazarus and Abraham are speaking, and the rich man says, well, if you can't give me any relief, then please, Please send somebody back to tell my five brothers not to come to this place. Kind of kills the party concept, doesn't it? Kind of kills that foolishness of ignorant people who say, when I get to party, I'm having a party with all my friends. Why did he not want his brothers to come then? Why wasn't he excited about his brothers to join him in the party? He said, no, no, Father Abraham, please send someone to tell my five brothers about this place so they won't come here. But it's Abraham's reply that gives us where the understanding about Lazarus in heaven. And would you look at your Bibles, please? And Abraham, verse 29, saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. You know what that is, church? That's the Bible. That's the Bible they had in that day. See, ladies and gentlemen, the difference about eternity is not what you think. It's about what God's word says. How do we know Lazarus went to heaven? Where's his salvation testimony? It's not recorded. It's assumed, and it's assumed because this man, Lazarus, somewhere in his life, went to the Word of God, trusted what it told him, trusted Christ, and got saved. And that ain't a stretch, bro. That's how it works. Because the answer for any, look at me, the answer to the rich man in hell for anybody in this life is they better get to the Bible and trust what the Bible says. Lazarus doesn't have to speak a word in heaven. Just the fact that the moment that he died, do you see what happened? They buried Lazarus, and he lay there until the kingdom. And after the millennial reign, then he went. No, 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 no. The moment that guy drew his last breath laying in a garbage dump, the angels came. And they took him across to that place called heaven. Oh, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Are you listening to me? The voice of that beggar. Say, well, Pastor, I just wish life would be better sometimes on this side. Well, I do too. I wish it was. I wish there was less suffering and sorrow. I wish there was less heartache. I wish there was less disease and death. And I wish all that. I wish all that were true, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? If God gave us heaven here on earth, who'd want to leave? He sprinkled handfuls of many blessings. And I'm going to say it one more time. God has been good to us. Yeah? But you better know this, friend. That beggar up there in heaven, you think he'd want to come back to that dump, live there and fight for scraps, have dogs lick his sores? You think he wants back in this life? You think he would say, oh, please, Father Abraham, send me back so I can go live in that dump and have sores on my body and dogs to come and lick? No, when he got to the other side, I guarantee the voice of Lazarus from heaven was, yes, yes, free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last. No more suffering, no more sorrow, no more disease, no more dogs, no more troubles, no more battles. The voice of Lazarus from heaven is, if anyone's got the sense to trust the word of God and the Son of God for their salvation. Come, my friend, come to this place. And he begs you today. He wants you to know what this place is like. The voices of eternity are the voice of Lazarus. The voices of eternity is the voice of the rich man. Did you notice in your Bibles? Please follow carefully. Verse 22. It came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man died. Please read carefully. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. See it? Look here. Well, death, burial, then hell. So hell is not the grave. There is a place in the Old Testament understanding of hell and the party as a place of the departed dead. But this here, what Jesus is talking about, he was very clear. This was a place to which the rich man woke up in the moment after he died. Well, I think when you die, you just go to the grave. Well, according to Jesus, that's just the pathway. That's a door. That's a threshold. You die, you're buried, and then you're in eternity. The moment you die, you pass. And you're going to wake up in hell if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Well, wait a minute. You read that account in Luke 16. Do you see the awful sin of this man's life? Did you see it? Did you see the list of his sins? All the things this man did that were so awful in society. He was a rich man who had a beggar laying at his gate. When it says that Lazarus desired them, maybe he asked the rich man, could I have some of this? Would you help? Maybe he gave the guy some scraps from his table. I have no idea. So that kind of eliminates the fact that the rich man, I think, was totally selfish. But I can tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. There is no record of this guy, the rich man, being a drunk, a wife beater, a horrible person. He was just, look at me, he was just somebody who lived and died. So that helps me to understand that the rich man's voice from hell tells me hell is not just for really bad people. Hell is for really good people too. Wait a minute. Did you see that statement there? Look here, look at verse number 25. When Abraham talks to this guy, and Abraham said, what's that there, verse 25? But Abraham said, what's the next word? He was a son of Abraham. I don't mean related in the direct sense to Abraham. This guy was a religious man. He didn't say sir, he said son. See, only a Hebrew would call another Hebrew by a familial name like that. So the rich man was a religious man. Hey, he was a religious man. He was a decent, religious man who wound up in hell. Are you with me? Now get the voice now. Here's a rich man, a religious, decent, rich man who winds up in hell. I've heard people say, well, he went to hell because he was rich. And it's got nothing to do with it. His economic situation had nothing to do with him in hell. And beggar Lazarus, his economic situation had nothing to do with him in heaven. Beggars can die and go to hell, and rich people can die and go to heaven. The condition is the situation of this rich man is he's crying to us from this place called hell to let us know. Good is not good enough. Religious is not religious enough. Fair is not fair enough. Right is not right. Excuse me, is not right enough. His life here did not send him to hell. No sin recorded in the rich man's life. What did send him to hell? He lived, he died, and he did nothing about the word of God and what it told him he should do. What sends you to hell is not accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay, because it's in the book. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Period. Hey, it's a have or have not thing. You either have Christ as your personal Savior, you've accepted his payment and his payment alone for your salvation, trusted him and got saved. A definite, definitive moment in your life of simple repentance, you trust Christ, you get saved. Boom, you have salvation. Until you do that, you do not. And that's on the authority of the law and Moses and the prophets. So the rich man isn't in hell because he didn't take good enough care of his beggar. The rich man is hell not because he wasn't religious enough. The rich man is hell is not because he wasn't a good enough person and he was some awful person. The rich man was in hell because he didn't trust what the Bible told him, trusting Christ and getting saved. That's the bottom line. Now look at me, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason Jesus tells us that is because 2,000 years later, that's still the reason why some are in hell and some are in heaven. It ain't changed. Guess what? It ain't gonna. It won't change for you and for me. There will be no exceptions to the clause here. You trust Christ, you go to heaven, you don't, you go to hell. Period. Hey, you trust Christ, you go to heaven, you don't, you go to hell. Period. And the voice of the rich man from hell is trying to tell us, you know, it's interesting. He said, please send somebody back and tell my five brothers not to come to this place. But he didn't just say that. He said, give them some kind of experience. And they'll believe that. Send Lazarus back. He's dead, so send him back. And if he comes back from the dead, walks up to my five brothers and said, remember me? I was that beggar laid outside the gate. Hey, I died and I went to heaven and I came back to tell you all about it. The rich man's still not thinking biblically. He's still thinking experientially. He's still thinking, if some event, something happens in my life, blah, blah, blah. And Abraham says, no. If they don't believe the Bible, it's not going to help them. Even though somebody rose from the dead, they've got to trust the word of God. And so the rich man's still there. Look at me. He's still there thinking, if some other experience, he's still not willing to trust the word of God and what it tells him. Then there's one more voice from eternity. There's that voice of Abraham. He declares a separation in eternity that is permanent in verse 26. That great gulf fixed, he says, we can't go back and forth, and nobody does. So there are religions that teach that if you do go to hell, you can work your way out. Well, then hell's empty. There's nobody in hell. How long would you have to be in a place of burning, suffering, torment to work your way out of that place? Excuse me, I don't think it would take long. But he said, no, no, there's a gulf fixed. So that those who go to this side heaven stay. Those who go to that side hell stay. And there's no crossover. Ladies and gentlemen, what God's trying to tell us is this. Listen to me. Your eternity is determined by what you do with God's word in Christ now. Because there's no changing. There's no parole. There's no alteration of anything. You're in heaven or hell the moment you die, and then you stay. And then Abraham declares that the Bible is the authority, and the difference between heaven and hell is not somebody's experience. It's not what you felt. Why can't people just give you a simple testimony of salvation? I don't understand that. And here's the reason, I think the biggest reason why. They can't just look at you and say, I realized I was lost, I trusted Christ, I got saved. Because they've got too much experience in their thinking. And they can't produce something they don't have. That's not the only reason. But here's the bottom line. Since heaven and hell is so definitive, since the way to heaven is clear and the way to hell is clear, and since salvation is simple, St. Corinthians 11:3 says, beware lest Satan beguile you of the simplicity that is in Christ. Why can't people just tell you, okay, I remember I trusted Christ and I got saved. Boom, that's good. Wait a minute. Maybe it's because they really don't have that testimony. Listen now. They actually do not have a testimony of salvation, but they don't want to have to admit that they don't, so they come up with all kinds of stuff. Now, friend, listen to me. Please don't feel like you have to convince me of anything or anybody else of anything. What you better do is you better be convinced of God that you have salvation. And that comes because these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, because the Bible tells us that. Hey, the Bible tells us that. You did what the Bible says. You trusted Christ. You have a clear testimony. No, somebody's experience isn't going to do it. It has to be by faith. Yeah, but if somebody went back from the dead, well, no, that's reality, so-called. That's factual, so-called. That's not faith. There is a point where you and I have to be willing to say, okay, I don't know it all, but I do know this. The Bible says there is heaven and hell. Jesus died for me to give me salvation. I will trust Christ and get saved. You got to do it by faith or you don't get it. It's simple, but it's clear. And Abraham's voice from eternity is trying to remind us. Here is an account of Jesus telling us about two men who lived and died. And one is in heaven and one is in hell. But Abraham says the final authority in all that is this, the word of God and what the Bible says. This morning, my friend, this message is very simple. First of all, when they leave this life and they know Christ, there's no more battle anymore. There's Lazarus in heaven saying everything's fine. And if they could tell you that today, that's exactly what they say. Those in heaven, everything's all right in my Father's house. The voice of eternity tells us this. There is a place called hell. And there's a man there begging people not to come. And there's a man there, there's one to tell us from eternity. The word of God is the difference and the answer. Trust God's word. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.